Oliver was almost anticipating an armed police squad to arrive. They'd either hunt him for Claire's disappearance or for holding up a revered gallerist. Everson hadn't tried to call. Surely she would have heard about the strangeness in Orange. Another winemaker missing or already dead, one closely linked to Oliver. It was only a matter of time. He checked into the hotel nearest the beach, having parked his Jag on one of the side streets. Sitting at the bar, he tipped down two neat whiskies. The bartender didn't seem surprised by Oliver's order, as though dishevelled men like him sat in the exact same stool every night, ordering from her the same drinks, getting tipsy to escape the same problems. He should call Everson. His gut told him that she was a good cop, reasonable, likely to listen to his truth. If he told her about the paintings and everything he knew about Theo, perhaps she would trust him. They'd simply started off on the wrong foot. He would tell her about having dinner with Claire, about returning to collect his phone, almost being shot himself. He would volunteer his phone records and she could listen to his conversations with Gabe. All of his friends knew he was a terrible actor, entirely incapable of forging such an elaborate cover. He'd give her access to whatever she wanted. Why not cop the brush with Harold on the chin if he had to, if it proved he had nothing to do with the rest of the mess? Oliver was worried someone had seen his Jaguar leave the scene. It wasn't exactly a common car. A faded red sedan in Orange? Certainly. A bottle green restored Jaguar E-Type? Not so much. He looked around the bar. Everyone, even on the beach, seemed so debonair. Rolled up jeans, the men slick with pomade in their hair. The scent of perfume and cologne mingled together and made him feel ill. It was why he'd taken such a liking to the country. Everyone was unique in some way. Dirty hands, sun wrinkles, sock tans, cigarette-stained fingers, a distinct dryness to their voice. Oliver remembered then, as the blood rushed to his head, that he'd barely eaten all day. A winemaker living on a diet of coffee and whiskey. Leaving the bar, he walked along the esplanade until he found a takeaway shop, where he purchased a couple of battered indulgences from the hot box along with a can of Coke. He sat in the Jaguar and ate, the grease bleeding through the paper bag, the salt and syrupy sweetness comforting after everything that had happened earlier. The only other person who might have answers was Chase. Oliver wasn't convinced he'd even sent the letter to Theo, but he'd have to at least rule out the possibility himself. He'd let the invitation take a back seat when he should have tried speaking to him earlier. There might be something his half-brother could tell him that no one else could. The only problem was he had no idea where he lived in Sydney. Sitting alone in the car, Oliver had a small epiphany, an arbitrary stroke of luck. He remembered the Christmas card that he'd received towards the end of last year from Chase. It had been unexpected, but not entirely random, given he'd visited the vineyard earlier that year. He hadn't really divulged too much about Chase's visit to Theo, thinking he'd share more once his twin had settled in and they'd had a chance to work out the nature of the invitation. Like Oliver's twin, Chase had arrived out of the blue one weekend afternoon. Oliver was doing something in the wine shed, tinkering with his barrels, when a knock had reverberated through the tin panels beside the door.